Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We get to talk hymnody. It's been a little while since we've talked about hymns on the Coffee Hour, so I'm very excited today that Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the LCMS and LCMS International Center Chaplain for us right here, joining us in studio to just like have a little chat about hymns today.
Sure.
Welcome.
Why not?
Thanks for joining us.
Great to be back.
All right. So we are approaching a Sunday in the Pentecost season. I don't actually have the number in front of me of the Pentecost and Trinity Sunday that we're approaching. And also we get back-to-back days because Monday the 29th is St. Michael and All Angels. So we're going to cover a few hymns that our listeners might be hearing this Sunday, the hymns of the day for the 3-year, 1-year, and St. Michael and All Angels. We're going to pack this into 12 minutes.
Here we go.
So, I'm excited.
Yeah. So first we have Trinity 15, and we have What God Ordains is Always Good, which is hymn 760. This is, a pretty important hymn for us as Lutherans. It's in the Cross and Comfort section. It's written by Samuel Radagast, who I understand was kind of really sick and wrote this in his sickness, but it's become a really beloved hymn. It has a very simple refrain. In German, it just says, "What God does, that's well done." And in English, it says, "What God ordains is always good." And it's repeats this over and over again, that what God ordains is always good, not just kind of generically, but for us. So I think this is maybe a distinction between Lutherans when we speak about, this might fall into the category of sovereignty if you were a general Protestant. And there, the emphasis is really just God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Mm-hmm. People say this even kind of liturgically at this point, I understand. But these are the very same people who really struggle with when bad things happen, I find. I mean, the logical conclusion of that is just when bad things happen, you should be happy with it. And doesn't matter, like, full stop. Why are you complaining? Mm-hmm. And I don't actually find this in our hymns. Now, some have made that accusation that we're a little too stoic in these sort of hymns. And I would push back, because I think all the people who sang these hymns and wrote these hymns were not people who were maybe like our recent past, living in general comfort, the 1990s, you know, Tiffany lamps in your Pizza Huts and everything in the stock market always goes up. They were living in the 30 Years' War.
Yeah.
They were living through Black Plague as a real event. It does make even our recent pandemic experiences pale by comparison. And yet they wrote these hymns and had such confidence. So this is one that Bach, I know, set quite a few settings of. So I think it's one that should be in every Christian's arsenal. In particular, just a couple things to bring out. The fact that God actually does send difficulties. We confess this because we want to take that away from the devil. He might think he's the author of all these evil things, but he can only do what the Lord permits, as we see in the book of Job. And he really is on the Lord's leash. And better than that, God promises to work all things for our good. As Joseph said, with his kind of rare, I think, glimpse into behind the curtain, you might say, to say that what you meant for evil, God has meant and worked for good. And Paul then echoes the same thing. So we have such confidence that God actually cares for us. Our God is true. Quote some of these great psalms, right? His mercies are new every morning from Lamentations. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the conclusion is, I can commend my life to him. To him, then, I will yield me. Maybe it doesn't come across as modern, but it's I'm gonna put myself into his arms. This is what we say every morning and evening in Luther's prayer. Into your hands, I commit myself, which is based on the very prayer that Christ prayed as he died on the cross. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. And then it gives us confidence that whatever we're bearing, whatever we're suffering, doesn't need to be fled, but can be borne in confidence as a Christian. We know the Lord is going to raise us at the last day. Therefore, this can be endured as well. A lot of people find comfort then also in stanza 5 that says, even though I'm drinking a bitter cup, there's not going to be any poison in this cup. The Lord will not let me suffer harm that will destroy me forever. And the last stanza is well known as well. This truth remains unshaken that he's good at all times and that what he does is always well done. If I have to bear sorrow or need or death, I still won't be forsaken through all of this. He's going to be with us. Therefore, I can fear no harm with his arm. This is surely a reference to Christ, especially. He'll embrace, there's a tender father, and shield, there's a firm protector. Therefore, I can yield myself to God and commend my spirit to him every single day and night, and finally into eternal life.
And it's such a good hymn. I noticed that it has, it's found in the Lutheran hymnal, Lutheran worship, and Lutheran service book as well. I'm sure it's in other hymnals as well, but it's persisted through all those hymnals.
I mean, it's got a little refrain so kids can sing it, which is great. And then it's paired in the one-year lectionary for those who'll hear it this weekend with the not be anxious, right? You know, which always is, I think, a beloved parable, a saying of Jesus, right? Don't be anxious. Why? Because we all are. And he rebukes us and at the same time comforts us, right? The reason not, he can say that. It's not just don't worry, stop worrying, but it's trust me, right? He even goes on to say, seek me first and my righteousness and everything else will be added, you know, sufficient to today's evils are its evils, so don't worry about all the others. Trust in me. Don't be like the pagans. Trust in me. I won't let you down. His promises are always trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have another hymn on our lineup for today. This brings us to, is this 708? Is that right?
Correct. Lord, Thee I love with all my heart. This is what the three-year lectionary gets to hear, and they get to hear it because of the third stanza in particular, where we are brought to Abram's bosom, because it's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. So hopefully everybody by now knows the last stanza of this hymn. It's essential to us as Lutherans. It's part of our commendation rite for the dying. It's often sung at funerals and at committals. It featured prominently in Bach's St. John Passion at the as the concluding chorale.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful, I think, simple confession of what happens when we die and what do we have to look forward to. We'll be carried in soul to Abram's bosom, which is a way of saying to Christ. Our bodies go into the narrow chamber of the grave and sleep there until Christ reappearing. And then we'll be awakened from death. We'll see with our very eyes, thinking of Job again in My Redeemer Lives, and be with him forever. Then we will praise him without end. Okay, everybody loves the last stanza. But I really want to just take a moment to give attention to the second stanza, which fits well with both readings in the three-year and the one-year this year. Lord, it was your rich bounty that gave me what? Everything I have, my body, my soul, and all I have, right? So if we're commending these into his care, he's the one who gave them to us in the first place, right? These also are entrusted to us for life, for work, for enjoyment, for all of it. In this poor life of labor, Lazarus was a poor man. His life seemed to have very little benefit, as Abraham himself says, but he's given all that blessing in eternal life. Often our work is a big part of what we do, and the Lord will preserve us through this also. Lord, grant that in every place, whatever aspect of my work and life and family, I may glorify your grace and help and serve my neighbor. So this is faith in action. What is it that would harm this? The very most important thing is, let no false doctrine beguile. That means trick and lead astray. I love the way the Lord's Prayer explanation from Luther goes. Protect me from false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And that's a protection where we have a false understanding, a false theology. It leads to despair, hopelessness. And when you're hopeless, you then succumb to all sorts of wicked things that consume you. Don't let Satan have us. Give us instead what? Strength, endurance, patience, so that we may bear our cross and follow after him. This most beautiful statement of Jesus, right? That if anyone wants to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. But don't worry, those who lose their life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will save it. And the last thing, Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, that statement again from Thomas, in death you will still give your comfort to me. I think this hymn, together with the other one, belong to both life and death, right? That we think about our death before it comes, but also that in difficulties in life, we have comfort. We look forward to the resurrection. We have the hope of everlasting life. These two, I hope, are in every Lutheran congregation's arsenal and in your family's arsenal, because I think they're especially good to sing on your own. If you live all by yourself and are depressed, I've sung "What God Ordains Is Always Good" to steel my heart and keep false doctrine from beguiling me when the chips seem to be down. And I think everybody who's planning on facing death in your life, which you ought to plan on, because everyone will, unless our Lord should return, has to know 708. All three stanzas are worth your time. Two is maybe the most fruitful when death is not, doesn't seem to me all that near.
Excellent. Such a great hymn. Everyone loves that one. And I'm excited to sing that one. All right. We've got St. Michael and All Angels happening on September 29th. Some churches might be celebrating that on Sunday. My church is celebrating that on Sunday. So we're going to run through 522, which is Hymn of the Day, for St. Michael and All Angels as well.
Tisk, you're not supposed to move feasts earlier.
I'm sorry.
You can't open your presents.
You
can't open your presents for Christmas. It'll be all right. But St. Michael's is, you know, St. Michael. And All Angels is kind of second-tier feast, which isn't a downgrade. It's just say, obviously, Christmas and Easter, Pentecost, you know, you can't skip those. But what are the ones that happen in the midweek that you also shouldn't skip? Christmas, nobody has a problem with. Epiphany.
Yes.
Ascension. Mm-hmm. And I would say St. Michael probably is the third one after those. And it's very important. We don't talk much about the angels. It just has a brief mention in the Creed, right? All things visible and invisible, the chief of which are the angels. But the scriptures really do talk about angels a lot. And we know that there are a lot of people who maybe obsess with angels a little too much. The antidote to obsession is not to become more obsessed, but it is to speak simply and plainly what is the truth. And that's what this hymn, which is actually written by Philip Melanchthon and expanded by others, is really good for. This hymn has a simple tune that we know very well, the same tune as "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word." And I think that's kind of fitting because the angels are the first and foremost ministers of God's word. They're always the messengers throughout the scriptures delivering God's word to his people. Think of Gabriel coming to Mary, for example. And here it teaches us that we should praise God and give thanks for the angels that he has created around his throne. And what's up with them? What can we say about them? Well, they shine with constant life. They constantly behold his face. That's part of the gospel reading from Matthew for St. Michael and All Angels. They listen to his voice and keep it well, we might say, in contrast to us who are sinners, right? They are not mortals. The holy angels are not subject to sin. Of course, the fallen angels are, actually. They never rest or sleep like we do. They're not mortal. Their whole delight is but to be with you, Lord Jesus, and to keep your little flock, your lambs and sheep. So interesting. They are fully devoted to him, and then they're put on honor guard duty for us. And this phrase here that Melanchthon's used is actually the same phrase Jesus uses with Peter, right? Do you love me, Peter? Then tend my sheep. Angels are called the ministers of God who do his word. Right, they have that administrative duty, which means they're the stewards, they're servants, but they're servants that have been invested with authority because the Lord's purpose is strong. This is exactly what pastors also ought to be. They're fully devoted to God because they're stewards. They're not actually the masters or lords, but then that they would steward what God has them to do very well and serve those under them. The ancient dragon, we have to talk about the enemy of these angels. The enemy of the angels is the devil, he himself a fallen angel. And he wants to do the opposite. He wants to divide and scatter the sheep. Hurled the world into sin and death. Now he's subtly lying to undermine everything. Interesting, in verse 5, to undermine both the church and the state. Maybe pretty poignant for us in these days. He's a roaring lion, barring from St. Peter, seeks to devour us. But this is also one of the things the angels do for us, is they're put on honor guard duty to guard us against the devil. We know some people are a little too obsessed with this perhaps, but we as Lutherans shouldn't forget that, yes, the Lord does protect us by whatever means he does, and we know that the angels are his servants for this case. And so we want to praise God for his angels. We want to imitate the angels in that and join their song as we do in the liturgy. We sing Holy, 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 the song of the angels, to praise our triune God. And even though, you know, we have a unique place as mortals, we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ in a way the angels haven't. And yet we're going to join them in the perfection of that praise at the last day.
This has been great. Thanks for joining us, Chaplain.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Chaplain Sean Denzer, LCMS Director of Worship and LCMS International Center Chaplain, studying some hymns with us today. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
The Concordia University System is comprised of five universities of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Located across the United States, the universities offer more than 160 undergraduate and 50 graduate programs and approach learning from a Lutheran context with the goal of developing Christian leaders for the church, community, and the world. Learn more about your Concordia University System at cus.edu. The Concordia University System, education built on God's Word. cus.edu.